Blessed be your name, everlasting King of glory. We are thankful. Oh, Father, we thank you because you have begun a mighty thing in our midst. Thank you, eternal Father. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. All right, let's take our declaration of understanding as we usually do, and then we'll settle down, take some time to study the Word of God. All right, one, two, let's go. Now I declare. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. Is healing me in every area, and is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. Okay, today, for those who may have overlooked that fact, today is our last school of prayer for the year, right? So, I don't know. I'm going to teach many things to end the year. All right? Okay, now, having said that, let me now remind us of something. The last two meetings we had here, we went into this priestly function of intercession. But I said that that is why God made us a part of families, a group of friends, and stuff like that. So what we are supposed to do is to employ that favor we have with God to bring mercy into the lives of other people. That if you're a member of the family, God expects you to pray for everybody else. If you're a member of a clique of friends, tightly knit believers, the main thing you have to do for them is to pray for them. We talked about that at length. And we took 2 days like that to intercede for loved ones. All right? So that's created a kind of short break in what we're talking about earlier. So we're not going to, we're going to go back now to what we're talking about. That's when we're talking about praying to remove the hindrances to answers to prayer. So we're going to go back to that now. Now I'm just going to read one portion of the scriptures. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 38. Psalm number 38. Psalm number 38. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger. For your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh, because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you. Please notice that. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. For I hope in you, O Lord, you will answer, O Lord my God. He said, for I said, may they not rejoice over me, who when my foot slips will magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin. Please notice this. For I confess my iniquity. That's how the man is handling the attacks by the enemy. I'm full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies, please follow this, are vigorous and strong. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. And those who repay evil for good. They oppose me because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The Lord is good. All right, I've read this. Okay, you'll see the reason why I read it in a moment. I just want to read the story of Hezekiah, all right, which you find from the book of, Isaiah. There are two portions, but let's just use the one from Isaiah, all right? I will read from chapter 36. Now, it's a story we all know, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. Isaiah chapter 36. Or is it 37? The story is 36 anyway. Okay, 37. Now, you know the story here. Okay, from that 36, we won't read anything. What I want is verse 36. It's in chapter 37. You will remember that Sennacherib sent and besieged Judah. And Hezekiah was king in Judah. And he was taunting them every day, taunting them. Telling them, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. And he wrote them letters, threatening what he was going to do. He threatened the things that, by the way, at the end of this, that was the end of the Assyrian kingdom. They had plundered Israel before then, sacked the nation, deported the inhabitants. They now decided to face Judah. After this kingdom came to an end. Because God came, answered Hezekiah, and that was the end of the Assyrian kingdom. Bear that in mind. So he was threatening, you know the story, threatening to do this and that. And, let's not spend too much time on these threats. His response of Hezekiah, I want us to look at. Okay? He sent a letter. Verse 14. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, that is including that of Assyria. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. And then he gave him all the words that God spoke. I don't want to spend time reading it now. All right? But you see, he spoke all those things almost the end of that chapter. But now, see in verse 36, that's around verse 35, you can stop there. In verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. Let's make a long story short. That was the end of that kingdom because the king himself returned home and his sons plotted and killed him. And that was the end of that kingdom. But what I wanted to notice again is that God said, because you have prayed to me about this problem that you have. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because, he said, that's why I'm answering you. Because you have prayed to me. You know what we do a lot of times is grumble about it. Sometimes the prayer actually is grumbling. It's not real prayer. We have a habit, we pray every day, so we'll mention it. But we have not gone sincerely to the Lord and say, can you help me? Maybe I need money. You know the way I go to somebody who has and say, please, could you lend me this amount of money? I'm a businessman. I walk up to the bank manager. I need you guys to give me this amount of overdraft. I need a loan. I walk up to them expecting that they will do something. How often do we go to the Lord like that in prayer? Again, this may sound like a funny illustration, but it's a perfect one. Someone was praying once, and he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." I mean, I read it somewhere. He said, the Father now answered, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" He said, "Please don't interrupt. I'm saying my prayer." What does that tell you? Whoever it was not expecting anything. "Please don't interrupt, oh. I'm only saying my prayers." I hope you're getting my point here. Sometimes we have that habit. We're not really expecting anything. We don't really expect anything from the time we claim we are praying. And please, I will say this again. I know I may not be very popular, but I think the way we so-called Pentecostals pray these days is not good. It's not good. We behave as if we are talking to a God of formulas. We behave as if we have to make a lot of noise and be dramatic. We behave as if we have to scream at the top of our voices before God can hear. I am not against loud praying in itself. It is just supposed to be a reflection of the emotional connection at that moment, not a habit. If you shout all the time, something is wrong. Let me say the way it is. That once you start praying, you are shouting. Something is certainly wrong. If you really were making a request before, let us assume you went to court and you're a lawyer, or you have a case before the judge, and you're allowed to address the court. All right? Either you're the lawyer or you're the one that really has the case. You don't raise your voice at the judge. You just don't. It's just not part of the decorum. You don't raise your voice. If you wanted to make a request of your earthly father, you don't raise your voice. Now, please get my point. I'm not saying raising your voice prevents God from hearing you. But I think you have taken prayer away from what it really is, which is real request making. Do you get my point? Yeah. In fact, I think if you are making a request of the Lord, generally speaking, your voice should be calmer than when you are talking to the judge. Because the judge is most likely some distance away from you, maybe up to 20 feet, depending on where you are standing. So you have to raise your voice to talk to him. But God is nearer to you than your thoughts. So you hardly have to raise your voice, really. Please get my point. I am not making a clear critique I'm not saying that it is wrong to raise your voice. But I'm saying this categorically. If it's your habit, you have a bad habit. It's not every time you pray, your neighbors you know. What's their business? I'm trying to get you to understand one thing. Next time you want to pray, close your eyes. Actually, picture. Okay, you really don't know what the Heavenly Father looks like. And the picture of Jesus Christ you have seen is that of an actor. So use your earthly father. Use a big man friend that you know. Just imagine that you are in his presence and you want to ask for something. Picture that and talk. What I'm trying to emphasize, please, is not the volume of the voice, but the attitude that really recognizes that I'm asking somebody who has the power for something. If I were to go into the presence of the president of Nigeria today, and he said, "Banky, what can I do for you?" I am not likely to shout. I'll just make sure you can hear me. Thank you, Excellency. God has helped you to help us. We just want you to pass the law that Okemute must pass by my house every day and drop a chicken. No, that's just a joke. But you get what I'm going to say. I am not going to scream down, "President! Hey, oh!" Go to your Bible. The people you heard shout. Alright? Yeah, they were in this, but those were really heard. Jesus was far in front of them. "Jesus, that son of David," the crowd was plenty. They needed to shout above the crowd. Do you follow my point? Otherwise, That man that was in the temple that Jesus said was more justified than the other, he did not even raise his voice, head. He was just beating his chest. Just beating his chest. Just beating his chest. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. That's what I'm trying to address. I think we should get away from that habit, not because of the volume, but because we have made it very impersonal. I hope you're getting my point. I want you to learn to pray like you're talking to somebody who listens. Now, please, I won't say it in a funny way, but like to a human being like you who has much more power than you have. He's God, but you need to be able to relate with him. He doesn't have 17 heads. So just imagine that he's listening. You go before, aha, good. How many of you have been or are Catholics here? Can you put up your hand? Let me see. Aha, okay. You did you put up your hand? Okay, it's true. Now, how many of you have ever gone for confession? All of you that, even Elder John, two Johnny. No, I thought you came from the Billy Akoni's background, you know that. I just say, nah, peace house man. Anyway, but have you noticed? You know the confession box? All right, you know the way it's shaped? You sit down there, and the Reverend Father is inside the box, and he's listening to you. You don't raise your voice to talk to him, do you? Why would you? You came to confess sin. You don't want the next you don't want the next person to hear. So let's leave that in. But you know he can hear. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. But the problem is that you see, you know you're talking to somebody. You expect a response. You actually try. You won't whisper in such a manner that he can't hear you. You will not shout in such a manner that the other person will hear. Why? You know there is somebody there. I think the box was designed to give you a sense of privacy so that the man does not even know who is asking for confession. Otherwise, when he comes out, he says, look at that guy. I'm missing a thief. But where I'm going is that, you see, when you get there, you know there is somebody. You know he's listening. You actually hear his voice in response. And that's what I want you to picture. That when you go to God, know, just like that, somebody is listening. That attitude is important. So it's a kind of serious attitude. That is, you know that, look, let me talk to him. He will help me. I remember the story of one woman. I don't know whether it really happened, but I think it did. Said the woman was praying. The daughter was sick or something. It was saying, God, help me. God, help me. If he said, Lord, you know that if you were the one that needed help and I could help you, you know I will help you. Now, yeah, that's what the woman said. Now, but I like the way she said it because it was very sincere. She said, Lord, if we turn this table around, you know, I won't waste time more. I will help you. Is that sincerity I'm dealing with here? This man had problems. He picked the problems up and went to the Lord and said, see, that man has a great army. He has conquered all the nations around. We have no help but you. He said, the gods of the other nations, see, cast them into the fire. He said, why won't he do that? They are fake gods. But Lord, I think we have to show him that you are the true God. There's nowhere else we will get help from. Do you know that was the problem God had with Asa? Instead of Asa to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do we do? Asa took the letter and sent it to the... Baasha was attacking him. So he sent to the king of... I think it was Syria. Aram, yes. Aram, Syria, yeah. It's Aram and Syria, same thing. So he sent the king of Aram to come and help a problem he should have carried into the temple and prayed the way Hezekiah prayed. He made his own worse. When that took the things that belonged to God and sent to the king of Aram to come and help him. And like I say, and let me pray for you again. All right? Please follow my prayer. When you are looking for help, where you are not supposed to get help from, may you not find it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
May you be frustrated in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you are keen at the door of a man that God doesn't say his help is clean, may somebody drive you away from there. May the man be angry the day you come. It's important. You know why? Because in Asa's case, his method worked. And that was the beginning of his problems. If only it didn't work. I hope you're getting my point. Please, take the matter to the Lord sincerely in prayer. This man just carried the problem. Sometimes, write all the bills that are due. Bring all the medical reports. Now, you know my favorite tactic. Now, it doesn't have to be, but I just say, come at night. Now, it's not as if God does not answer prayers during the day. You know, I don't even like people who go and gather and be clapping the whole night. Say they are doing all night prayer. I don't believe in it. Not as if it's evil, but I'm just saying it's unnecessary. Why I do personal one at night is that it's as if then my head is calmer than usual and everybody has slept. There's no distraction. So that's why I recommend it. Not because there's anything special. You can have the same effect early in the morning or noonday when everybody has gone out. Maybe you didn't go to work that day. Everywhere is quiet. Everybody has gone to work. They've gone to school. You're not alone at the house. It's also the good time. So that's why I just recommended that. Write it down. Put it there. Lord, good morning. I know it's not morning in heaven. It's the same time, but we are here. Please. Can I say this? If you need a song to calm you down, sing it. But God doesn't need a song. Don't go, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. He's getting impatient with you, my friend. Say what you want to say. We all know why you came. Why are you now turning this thing to a worship session? I just want to be where you are. God said, you are already where I am. Sit down. Say the thing you want to say. Do you care, my friend? We have a feeling that he has to be wound. Let's wind him first. He doesn't need it. I'm telling you again today, he does not need it. Other one you are doing is for your own good. Is to, you know, but always, it's a good habit. Always start with two things. Words of thanksgiving and words of praise. What's word of praise? Please. The word of praise is not the word you speak so as to hype God. That's why you shouldn't be saying thou, thee at that time. And quoting things you don't understand. Even though the scriptures don't use them at that time. Like the one I keep on giving as an example. It dwelleth in light unapproachable. There's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't pay bills. Do you get my point? You can say things like, God, the day Jesus was asked to pay a tax, you were the one that put money in the mouth of the fish. That's the word of praise. Lord, you know you can never be taken off guard. It will never happen that you don't have enough. There's a reason why your name is El Shaddai. Now, when you are saying that, you know what's happening? You are diminishing federal government and Bola Ahmed Tinubu, our current president. You are diminishing the value of the naira and the dollar in your eyes. You are diminishing the help that human beings normally will produce. You are pushing them down. You know, like I say, you talk about the Lord. Let's talk about that for a moment again. There's a message I said I will share, all right? Fellas, even remind me, please, today we must share it, all right? We must share that message. I'll send it to send around WhatsApp. I'll put it on our podcast also. When I talk about talking about the Lord, it's very important when they have problems, first talk about God. Don't talk about the problems. I hope you get my point. Yeah, go through the scriptures. You know who's talking about the most in the scriptures? No, there's no catch. Who's talking about the most? It's God. He's the one that's talking about the most in the scriptures. The first line says what? Stop. Did you see that? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And then, what's the next thing? And the spirit of who? God was moving upon the surface of the waters. And what's the next line? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What's the next line? And God saw that the light was good. The next verse you see, and God said, and God saw, and God said, and God saw, and God said, let us make it. Oh! That's why some people don't like him. They say he talks about himself too much. If you are God, you should talk about yourself. The reason why you can't talk about yourself is that you're not God. What have you done? Even the thoughts in your head is not your own. Even the mouth you are using to talk is not yours. That's why we don't behave like Jesus Christ in that area, because we are not him. In him, we are everything. So when we have to talk about us, we talk about him. But him, he could do it. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Pastor Okemute, you are not the bread that came down from anywhere. So you come to church and you say, ever since I came to this town, my friend, go and sit down. Is it because, like somebody told my friend Pastor Courage, he said, Pastor, relax. Come to this church, it's not by force. Yeah. Member of the church. He said, man of God, calm down. The man of God said, when the man finished saying it, he realized that the man was telling the truth. He wasn't offended. Good enough was a senior person age to him. He said, Pastor, relax. Oh. To come here, no be by force. Oh. We chose to come. So you can't go there and be talking about yourself. You can say like Paul, by the grace of God, I am what? You have to talk about him. Jesus will tell you, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Without me, you can do nothing. Before Abraham, I am. You know why he could talk about himself? Because he was. Do you get my point? Yeah, he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. So you, when you get there, talk about the Lord. That is who you are supposed to talk about the most. You know, if you want to know false prophets who are comedians, just check who they talk about. You know that your guy, that our actor, the one in Onitsha. You know the way he goes. That's why, you know, when people say that, I say, leave the guy. The guy is just having fun. Say, I'm the war. I'm the finisher. I'm the battle. That's all you need to know, that he's not a true man of God. There's no need for any other thing more than that. Go and check, he talks about himself more than any other thing. I'm blessed, like I keep on. People say, hey, he's not a false prophet. He's having fun. He's having fun. He's just having fun. Because the guy, he never says power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I have powers I have not yet used. He starts calling names that you never heard before. Everything is about him. That's all you need to know, that he's not a true prophet. But he's not a false prophet. He's not a prophet at all, thank you. He's not a prophet at all. He's not a prophet at all. He's just having fun. Because truly, a true prophet, hey, by the way, if you see a prophet, church prophet, always talking about witches, is also false. He may be a true Christian, but he's a false prophet. His prophecies are false. Jezebel in the Bible that Jesus talked about in Revelation was a church member. She was. That's why Jesus said, I gave her time to repent. So you can be a true Christian, called to ministry, and be a false prophet. When Ananias was prophesying against Jeremiah, it was a false prophecy. He was a true Israelite, but he was a false prophet. His prophecies were false. So if you see somebody listen, witches, is a false prophet. Because the victory of Jesus should be what you talk about the most. So when you go to God in prayer, talk more about him than your problems. It's important. It's very crucial that you spend more time talking about the Lord. That's why you saw, read all the men who pray in the Bible. That's how they did it. They always remind, it's not really God, but it's God. But it's not really God they are reminding, it's themselves. Were you not the one that drove out the inhabitants of this land and gave to the descendants of Abraham your friend forever? That's what they talk about. And you said they should live in it, they should possess it. Were you not the one that took your children out of Egypt and took them through the Red Sea and brought them through the wilderness into this promised land? They keep on talking about what God did, who the Lord is. That's what exactly Ezekiel was doing here. So when you go to God like that, first talk about him. Then take time out to count your blessings. Count, don't forget. Don't start with whining. Count your what? Blessings. Because some of the problems you have, they are problems of a blessed person. Do you get my point? You need money for your business. It's not because you have a business. You need to pay rent. It's not because you are living in a house. I've ever seen a homeless man say he has to pay rent. He's not owing anybody. Children's school fees coming. It's not because you have children that are going to school. Yeah. Yes, sir. Do you get my point? There are things, see, in the midst of every problem, there are things to thank God for first. See, two things. One, praise. Second, thanksgiving. It's like, again, let me say, we're not bribing God. We are putting things in proper perspective. We are putting things in proper perspective. Don't ever forget to do that. Talk about the Lord. Two, Give thanks. No, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Literally name them. Don't just assume. Don't keep the gratitude in your heart. Put it on your mouth. Put it on your lips. Like somebody told me once, I said, you could complain to me. I said, God knows we are grateful. I said, God doesn't know it. I told him, I said, no, he doesn't know it. You know why he doesn't know it? Because you are not. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the thing was written in the heart, it will spill from the mouth. Don't forget that. That was what Ezekiah did. He gave the Lord thanks. He magnified the Lord. Now, back to the issue. He now itemized what the problems are. So, what you do at that point, if you have to write it down in details. Lord, see you. These are the issues at hand. These are the monies needed. And the time frame we say we should pay the money. Lord, I've come to ask you for help. I cannot handle this by myself, you know. The income you've given me in the last 6 months, you know, we average this amount of money. Even if I didn't spend everything in the last 6 months, it will not handle all of this. But Lord, I know you can supply it. That's why I've come to talk to you today. Thank you because I know you love me. You care about this household. You care about this ministry. You care about this business. Thank you. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Go. Leave it there. There are different ways he solves problems. Somewhere at the end of the prayer, you will realize that you actually didn't have problems you thought you did. Sometimes he takes away the problems. Other times, he will just supply the needed money miraculously. But it will not happen that he will not answer you. That's the one I can assure you, that it will not happen that he will not answer. It will not happen that he will not answer. Let me tell you, it will not happen that you will pray like that and he will not answer. People of God, listen. It will not ever happen that you will pray like I have said, as you have taken examples from scriptures, and he won't answer. That is never going to happen. That is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. If I sit down and I start telling testimonies of how God has helped me, or different people's stories, but that one I read in the tracts is one of the most dramatic. About the couple that prayed like this, they're about to be ejected from their home. They were elderly. The landlord died. The landlord, who was a good man, he died, and his son inherited the house. I said, what you guys are paying? Let's just take it as an example. This was in America, I think. This $100 people are paying a month, that's not the going rate for this house. These are supposed to be $600 in a month. Supposed to be $1,000. And these two pensioners couldn't pay. And they did exactly what I have said. I read it in the tracts. And God planted the agent to go and overhear the prayer. And at the end of the day, he said, in fact, it was what that thing they said. The woman was the one leading the prayer that day. He said, the husband, he said, you know, he said, we are your children. Even if you are living on the street, you are still with us. We don't have a problem living on the street. He said, but you know, my husband's back has been aching. So he needs to lie down on a good bed like this. That's why we are praying. And the Lord just collected the angel and said, come and hear something. The angel said, stay there. He heard the whole thing. And then told the landlord, I'm sorry, I want to stop managing your property. That one said, why? Then he told the story. He said, I don't have the heart to eject those people. That one said, please stop listening to people's prayers. You hear? And ordered him to go and tell them that somebody, a mysterious person, came and paid their rent for the rest of their lives. That they can live there without paying again as long as they are alive. Then he gave, because that man had said he was going to visit them, he was going to buy some things, and visit the two elderly people. He dipped in his pocket, gave him some money. He said, buy something on my behalf and add to it. Tell them they don't have to pay again. Let me tell you something about someone like that. See, that man, that guy left. That's not why he did it. But I know the way God behaves. You're giving 10 times that amount of money. Yeah, money he wanted to increase. He just inherited property. God, that's the new landlord, the young landlord. God will, if you know the God we are serving, he will return it to him more than tenfold. You'll become richer than he ever imagined. You know, those who won't get anything, those who want to sow it, they don't get anything. I want to plant this seed. He didn't plant any seed. He just had pity. He just had pity, love, compassion on those two persons. And God used him to solve their problems. And if you know the God we are dealing with, it will never go on record that you are the one helping him. The day Mary Kay, in her book, Miracles Happen, she told the story. When she said that she was going to go to, she went to church and God said to her, ah, God, may we understand the promptings of the Spirit. Amen. She was just preparing. And the Holy Spirit just, according to her, if people say they hear from God, that's the closest I ever came to it. And she was making up that money to go to church. She was in front of the mirror. A thought just dropped in her heart. Tell them you will double whatever amount of money they give this morning. She looked. What? She wasn't used to it. Time to speak. She had money in the church. And that thing was just, finally, you know, the thing kept on pushing her. She didn't know whether to repeat it. Just opened her mouth and said, please, see, this is what we're going to do. Whatever money you guys gather this morning, I am going to double it. Church was like, what? According to her, normally on a good day, they get like $2,000. So she felt that after all the charging, after 1 year, maybe they can get up to $5,000 or maybe $10,000. And she told them, no matter what, he said that, look, I don't take pledges. It's cash. Whatever money you are giving, latest tomorrow, it's in church. So they all went home. And then they started gathering what people said they would give. And when they didn't call her, she knew something was wrong. That maybe the money is more than I thought. It may be up to $20,000. And when they called her, they said, please, we were having a meeting. We are sorry. We heard you make the pledge, but we don't think you need to be like this. So the pastor and I and the elders, we have agreed that you don't have to pay that money. We'll release you as a church. And they were right. Whatever you lose on earth shall be lost in heaven. We'll release you from the pledge. The woman said no. And they told her, okay, the amount is $106,000. For a woman who was planning for $10,000, cash she did not have. And but remember, she gave them till tomorrow morning. She too had to come up with the money. That money. But now they were calling her Monday morning. And she was there thinking. Then the phone rang again. And her son said, mommy, why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? I said, what are you talking about? That investment you made into oil prospecting some time ago started yielding. And I was told to inform you, your share in the first month is over $100,000 in the first month. So she titled that chapter, You Can't Outgive God. She titled it, You Can't Outgive God. Please, I always like Christians to understand. He didn't say you cannot out-invest God. Yeah, because that, now you finish telling you now want to, hey, God, where's the offering basket? People tell this kind of story and then they bring the basket, bring it here. Whatever you put here today, you have spoiled it. The people that did it were not planning for that. The woman said, look, I made this pledge. Where will I get $106,000 from? I will go to my bank. The bank manager knows me. I will tell him, please give me this credit. And God said, it won't be necessary. Do you get my point here? Now, why did I tell this story? I now remember. Yeah, why I told this story? It wasn't, I showed the seed. He said, when I was going to church, he said, I was trembling. When she took that money to go and redeem her pledge, she said she was trembling. You know what she realized? It has never been me all this while. There's a power of God. So whatever she thought she had accomplished, she realized that God just said, leave that in my girl. I did it for you. God demonstrated it to her that morning. That's why I told the story that, listen, that man, that young landlord, don't worry. God will bless her abundantly. Bless him abundantly. What he gave up for those people, leave it. God will give him tenfold. Mary Kay said, what was her pledge? 106. In the first month, I hope you know there's a second month. If it's at the first month. I hope you know there's a third month. Okay. You know there's a fourth month. 20 months later, the thing was still yielding. Yeah. It's an eternal investment. Until that business closes, the amount will just go up or down. So there are months it will be $1,000. Maybe there will be months it will be only $500. Maybe. Sorry, $100,000. How would I say? $100,000. First month. Yeah. There are months it will be $1,000,000. That's why I was good. Depending on how the market is doing. Why did I tell that story? by the couple that just took their matter to God in sincerity. Simply. That's why I'm teaching Christians again. That's why I don't pray the way many people pray. No. My wife can testify. When serious matter comes up, I say, baby, please, come on. Don't go out yet. Let us pray about this. I speak clearly. Clearly. I should just be saying, amen. 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 I will talk. In fact, if you overhear at such times, I say, Lord, you know, this is going to take too much time. We need help to reduce this amount of thing. Now, two people coming will take this. So that's the kind of help we're asking you for. You know, I'll just keep talking. Sometimes I interrupt and I explain something to my wife. And this way, see, why I'm saying this is because of this. Do you understand that she'll say yes? Because we have to be in agreement. Not that I'm asking God, she's like, what does he say? That scatters it. If two of you shall what? Agree. So we have to be in agreement. So many times, I will interrupt the prayer and I'll say, sweetheart, you know why I'm just saying that is because of this and this. Do you understand? She'll say, she does. I said, so Lord, like I was saying, I go back to pray. I don't have the habit of my wife and I want to pray. I'm banging my head against the wall. No. 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 And I don't have it. I don't know. If you do that sort of things, I will learn from you. But me? I will just say, sir, let me have your hand. Your holy hand. I said, Lord, so I want to talk about these children's school. You know, they're supposed to go to school now. Between now and then, it's the university. I will just be talking like that. When they will go, that's how I just do. There's no, oh, father, so. My wife and I are praying about my children and the household. I'll be shaking my leg. Some of us behave as if we don't bang your head against the wall. God, I told you, when Ezekiah faced the wall, there was nothing inside the wall. It's because the king being attended to by everybody. He needed some privacy and focus. So he turned away from where Isaiah just left, from where his servants were standing, and he faced the wall. And between the time Isaiah left his presence till he got to the gate of the palace, I don't know how big it was, even if it's what's the name of this place in India? Taj Mahal. Even if it was Taj Mahal, Abba. As Ezekiel was going, which was why God didn't, Jonah didn't like God too much. Jonah and God didn't used to get along very well. Read that short story. You know, the two of them didn't get along well. Go to Nineveh. He said, before I leave the gate, you will agenda your mind. God said, go to Nineveh and go and cry against the city. He said, before I finish crying, you will have changed your mind. And that was not the first time. It was not going to be the second time. The Lord had done it several times. He said, I'm not going. If you want to punish them, let me know for sure. Once I leave, destroy everybody. If you're not going to do it, don't send me. Exactly. So don't bother. How do I know this? It's in the Bible. He said, was this not what I said when I was still at home in my own country? God had to not be explained to him, Jonah. So you want me to kill everybody? Say, why not? After all, I had told them you would do it. He said, Jonah, so your integrity is more important than the lives of these young people that don't know anything. So I don't care. At least kill somebody first so that I'll know I'm called. No, go ahead and read that story. What am I talking about? Ezekiel just, you know, as soon as Ezekiel finished preaching, Isaiah had not finished going out. He was still within the king's courtyard. When the word of the Lord came to him again, saying, go back and go and tell him, no need to put your house in order now. You have 15 years extra. What am I talking about? It's about the prayer of Ezekiah. Ezekiah just faced the wall and said, and please, let's remember, he did not plead his good works. His wrong readings. When you read it, having listened to preachers trying to tell you to tithe and give first fruit and give offering and claim it, that's why he didn't say so. Because if you're going to read his commentary later, he said, because of my iniquity, I was corrected. What he just said is that, I have no other God but you. What he just said is that, God, you know I don't go to the house of Baal. Who will I now go to if I'm in trouble like this? In my distress, you are the only one I can come to. That's what he said. And God said, go and tell him. He wasn't banging his head against the wall. 15 more, my emphasis to this is that it was a short prayer. It was as if God was waiting to do good for him. Just saying, look, do you know when Jonah prayed his prayer? All that prayer, you see him talk long. It was in just a few minutes. You get my point? Just a short while, the thing rose from his heart. But we want to go to the Pentecostal praying habit I'm saying to you these days. Generally, it's not good. The prayers are not sincere. They have too much of, sorry to say, too much of flesh in them. What do you call flesh? The pertinent thing is wonder how much I bang my head. There's a movement going around now which I can tell you don't get involved in. Time to pray. You will take a position. Please, don't do it. You hear what I said?
Yes,
sir. Don't do it. There's no basis for that nonsense in scripture. See, nobody today, they bomb me. I have been observing this move of God there for over 30 years. In case you do not know, by 1986, I was already amongst those that they were laying hands on, were falling down and getting up. In case you don't know, when the year 2024, in 2 years, it will be 40 years. I may look like a small boy, relatively, in your eyes, but I've been there for a long time. And I have followed people. I have observed. I have not seen any superior prayer habit to the ones in scripture. I've not seen. If you are doing all this, what you are doing, when you calm down, you will come back to what we are telling you. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
See, you won't see one old, go and point to one old man that's doing that thing. You won't see, hey, this young boy, young guys, they're in their 30s, 30s, 31, they go, so calm down. Voice go fail on you. Now you can start. Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. When your sore throat is persistent, see, this is what I'm doing. You will never see a senior minister do it. You won't. Go and check. You see, Billy Akonye preach like that. Preach like that. Pastor, yeah, the boy. Did you see Pastor Adeboye pray like that? Bishop Oyedepo pray like that? You won't see them. So these small boys that gather. I said, we're here to pray. Put your head on your toe. I mean, yeah. God will not hear you more than he heard Peter, more than he heard Hezekiah. He won't hear you more than he heard David. He won't hear you more than he heard the people in the scriptures like Hannah. He won't hear you more than he heard them. We used to say that in Acts chapter 4, when the church gathered and prayed, that they prayed in one accord. You know what we used to say those days? They said they were all praying. This is what God heard in heaven. No, that was not what God heard in heaven. As if all of them were then God was not here. Holy Spirit now interpreted it and gave it to Luke. Luke narrowed it for us. I can tell you what they did. These are people who learned it from the times past. They all stood in the congregation of the brethren. They all stood. And a man like Peter stood up, put up his hands, men ought to pray, lifting up holy hands. He lifted up his hands and said, Lord, behold their threatening. That's all. Oh God, he told the story. You know the way it is. Let me just open to it. Acts chapter 4. Sometimes when you see young people, they learn some things. They think that it's new revelation. One of them, they say, oh boy, in 1986, you tell them where it happened. They will tell them to 1988 when it happened. You will tell them why it stopped in 1990. And they are looking at you as if it's new revelation. Revelation. We went through these two cycles before we left it. And realized that the Lord was not there. That God was in the sound of the gentle blowing. All these noises people are making. That's not where God is. See, there's no praying you want to pray that is superior to putting the word of God on your lips. I don't care the anointing upon you, the groan that is inside you, or the tongue you want to speak. The word of God on your lips. The word has what? Life. It's living and active. The word can pray. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That you want to make a request, you start quoting scripture. The scripture forms your request into something else and delivers it to God. Many of the things we are getting involved in is lack It's because we do not know how to pray as we ought. Don't feel superior. I see young people glorifying some funny habits and they think they're in the spirit. From verse 23-24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with what? One accord. That's what I was telling you. What does one accord mean? I'll tell you. They were not all talking. One person spoke. Now, I'm picturing this in my mind. Peter put up his hands like this in front of the congregation, and they all stood, either with hands lifted or with hands folded, whichever way, and heads bowed, whatever. But they all stood in reverence. And as Peter will speak, they will say, Amen. As Peter will speak, they will say what? Amen. And they were all following him with the words that he was speaking. And he said, look at what he said. First thing he did, they lifted their voice one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Talked about their problem first? No. Talked about the Lord first. Who by the Holy Spirit, talking about the Lord, to the mouth of our father David, your servant said, your servant, the Lord still. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered against your holy servant Jesus Christ, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predetermined to occur. And now, Lord, the problem. Take note of their threats and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You know what happened? And the congregation said what?
Amen.
Amen. That was how they prayed. That was how they did what? They prayed. Some of the habits we have, if it's us, of course, you know, when we release that prayer point, begin to scatter them. As one person says, Lord, save the elders. One says, kill them. And one says, Lord, let your hands be stretched forth to do signs and wonders. One says, do wonders in their homes. Scatter them. Let them wake up in the morning and not sleep again. Let those who have slept never wake up. Ah, we come. Oh, yeah. Oh. So we have not yet prayed. And they finished praying for 3 hours. We'll be back again tomorrow. These people did not speak more than this. From recounting what happened to praying everything, maybe 1 hour.
Yes, sir.
And then the Holy Spirit came. You know one reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't come for us? Our prayers are not sincere. That's what I meant by flesh. When I say flesh, we think we are speaking in tongues. We think we are praying in the spirit. We think we are groaning. But you know what? We are having confidence in our own gyrations. See, that day, man, when I was done, I was sweating like a goat. Yeah, and you are feeling good. That there's no way God won't do something. There's no way. I know how we pray that day. What do you mean? Yeah, you beat drum or the drum, you saw the drummer sweating. I'm really sorry. I know it sounds like criticism, but sometimes when I see some people praying sometimes online, I'll just be looking. I feel like I say, bro, this is not praying. Sit down. Because the guy who's joining you, he has to be beating drum. Oh Lord. One day I joined the house, Apostle. I began dance. My children were looking at me like, Daddy, what's going on? I said, we are praying. Is beating drum bad? No, but that's not praying. It's not, and it's just drum. Please, I'm begging you. Please, I know what I'm saying. Don't form bad praying habits. You know what habit you form? Habit of taking the scripture and turn it into a song. Take the scriptures at that time and recite it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let me get into my message for today, please. Just try. Do you know she opened her mouth? She's opened her mouth. When I said, let me get into my message for today. You thought I was in the message already. So you cannot yet discern. You should know when I have not started. We just read the scripture. Abi? We just read it. Apostle, you are not training these people well for me. Oh. Because her husband is not around. That's why. You should know. This is just, I'm just preambling so that we can get into the main thing. We want to look at the Lord is good. Now, when God answers, and that's what we're talking about, all right? When God answers, we have to remove hindrances. Do you get my point? Now, let me remind us what we're saying. Daniel began to pray 3 weeks later before the angel arrived. Is that okay? And we said that many times there are obstructions, there are obstacles to the release. And if you see the way God does things, I've explained this again and again. Sometimes you think there's more than one God. There's no more than one God. They're just obeying certain rules and precepts. So he will send Moses. Then the same God will enter into another mode. And that mode says, listen to this carefully. And you must understand, let me not get in there. Some of those modes are activated through accusations. And then God allows them to manifest to you so you can shut the mouth of the accuser. Because if you break the covenant of God, you give power to the accuser. Do you follow my point? Yes. Some of those, it's not as if God doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. But then he has to be fair, he has to be just. He's a just God. So sometimes those things are activated through the power of accusation. So the same God comes and stops on the way and intends to kill Moses. Why? There was enough reason for Moses to die. Then the voice of intercession is raised different ways. And then Moses survives when the wife circumcises the son. Now, the point I'm making is that so sometimes you see God release an answer. Did he not know that there would be obstruction on the way? Is it that he discovered it when the angel didn't get there? No, it is just that the prayer that Daniel said required him to release the angel. However, the obstructions needed to be cleared. And I explained to us before that there are different things that were participating in the clearing of that obstruction. One of them may be, of course, one, definitely Daniel began to pray more things. There are prayers that release the answer. And there are prayers that will clear the road for the answer to reach you. Do you get my point? That when Jesus said, if you ask, you will have. It means that when you have, ask, the Father hears, he releases, but you don't yet have. For him to say, you shall have. Do you follow my point? So from the time God hears and releases, oftentimes there is what? Obstruction. So you still have a job to do. You still have a job to do. There are prayers you still have to say sometimes along the way until the obstruction is cleared. And we said the other time that Isaiah chapter 40, where he says, this is the major work we have to do. You have to bring down the hills, the mountains, and elevate the valleys. And I said that what are the hills, what are the mountains? Those are the strongholds in your heart. And what are the valleys? Those are the weaknesses. Now listen to this. The doubts. And that's the message for today. The doubts. The doubts in the heart. They have to be filled up. There's a reason why God will come and say, do you believe? Jesus was speaking. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Somebody say, come, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, come. Do you believe I'm able to do it? What does that tell you? Shouting have mercy does not mean you believe I'm able to do it. Sometimes people shout in desperation, they don't fully believe he's able to do it. So Jesus stopped and said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Or do you believe I can give you a referral note to a doctor that will do it? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah. Please, see, Jesus didn't used to play with words. All the jokes he cracked were not reported in scripture. Maybe he did. I'm just saying that. It was not any word you see written there. They were written that we might believe. That's what John said. Somebody came to him and said, have mercy on me. And he stopped. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And he said, I believe. Now be unto you according to your faith. Do you get what I'm going to say? Remember the one I said, Sadhu said, one message I listened to. He went to preach, somewhere, in another country, somewhere in Asia. Not in India itself. And a woman came with a sick child. And the Holy Spirit said, don't pray for her. Tell her to go and see the doctor. Now she's joining the queue for prayer. And the Lord said to the prophet, don't pray for her. Tell her to go and take the child to go and see the doctor. So when it was a woman's turn to be prayed for, he looked at her and said, my sister, I'm not going to pray for you and your child. Now, I wanted to go and see a doctor. And the woman broke down crying. I said, why are you crying? Initially, he thought that She was disappointed that he wasn't praying. And the woman cleared her eyes and said, "Sir, I wanted to go and see the doctor. But the people in my church interpreted it as unbelief. So because of the pressure of the elders and the brethren, I'm here." And he said to her, "No, my sister, it's not a problem. God is not angry with you for going to see the doctor." He prayed with her as she went to see the doctor, and the doctor did a successful surgery on the little child. And God didn't have a problem with that. That's why Jesus would say, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Many of the things that God does for us in life, that is where the problem is. What we are able to believe. And you have to understand that he's not angry. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
he's not, you will not believe me. You don't believe I'll do it like this. He's not angry. So what can your faith carry? Back to the matter we began with. Because if there is unbelief, wahala day. Do you get my point? Yes, if there's unbelief, we lose answers. We spoil what God has done. If fear takes a hold, if fear is allowed to grip the heart, things spoil. Jesus will say to Peter, "Walk." And while he's watching, Peter will sink. It's not as if the power to walk on water was not good anymore, was not there. But fearing, the Bible says, he began to sink. When you begin to fear, you begin to sink. And we said that God said, "Look, I will not take them by the shorter route." Why? Because they see war and they will turn back. Why? There was timidity in the heart. He still wanted to take them to the promised land. He said, "But there's timidity in the heart. Let's make it easy for them." Kenegin got healed all by himself at the age of 16, 17, before he was 18, of severe heart, that is congenital heart defect. Severe, according to him, incurable blood disease. He had about 3 or 4 things that the doctor said independently each one could kill him. And they gave him up for dead. His grandmother came and planned his funeral with him. You know, you both would reason differently. If he's an African man, you want to plan my funeral. Die by fire. Do you get my point? The grandmother came and said, "Is it okay with you if your cousins carried the casket?" He didn't care. He says, "All right." Then she came back and said, "Which hymns should they sing during your service of songs?" And according to him, "It doesn't matter, anyone you like, I won't be hearing it anyway." Yeah, that's what they were doing. The grandmother was planning his funeral with him. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said to him, "You don't have to die." One way or the other, he knew that the answer was inside the book. He began to read the Bible. It took him months to get from Matthew chapter 1 to Mark chapter 11. He got stuck in Mark chapter 11 sometimes for weeks because doubt filled his heart. Let's make a long story short. After a long time, the Holy Spirit activated the word in him long enough, powerfully enough, for him to all by himself get up one day. He got up, having not walked in months. He walked around his room. He said when his legs fell off the bed, because he pushed his legs off the bed, when they hit the floor, he said it was as if 1,000 needles were pricking him at the same time. He said when you've had no feeling from the waist down for long enough, any feeling, no matter how painful, is so sweet. Then he got up and walked. And he went and sat down again. I said to surprise the whole family. When they gathered to eat, I think their only other breakfast, one of their meals, he walked out to come and take a seat at the table. And his grandfather said, "Is Lazarus raised?" He had many struggles after. He came to school, and what was the cause of his struggles? Little words here and there who we speak. That boy is just up by sheer willpower. He may collapse anytime and die. I don't want him to go home to class. He may die in class. Those words kept on draining his faith. And he struggled to keep going. And people ask him, how are you? I'm just managing. And he was getting weaker. He said one day came, he found out that he was spending more time in bed than outside bed. Now, many of us who read some of his books, we didn't hear this part of the story. But later on, he was giving those details. That one day he was walking back home from school. And somebody offered him a lift. He said he was just about to faint. He was so glad for the lift. Then he went home and prayed, God, what is going on? Then he realized that his confession had changed. The words he used to speak had been altered. So he went in and prayed again. Activated his faith until he could get up. Many of us think that he just got up one day and was totally well. The struggle continued for months. Oh, the struggle continued for months. I'm sorry to say, that's one area where I think many of us who teach faith, I don't think we have been fair on other people. That's why, you see, those of you who know me well enough, if I couldn't get up, I said, nah, not come to church. I said, do you know why? I couldn't get up. My whole body was broken. Because if you don't, when the brethren have broken bodies tomorrow, they think it's unbelief. They'll start pretending. That's why I tell the stories. Hide what? I will tell you the story. It's not because of me. It's because of you. I want to know, see Pastor Banky? He had issues. My wife was 8 months pregnant when the child died. It's in my book. I wrote it. I didn't hide it. Do you know how many people have comforted with that story? Do you know how many people have comforted with that story? Why did it happen? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Pastor, you didn't have faith. That's your problem. I had affliction, and it comforted me in my affliction. That's all I know. Oh, yes. That's what I will tell you. When I was out of here for like, how many weeks that time? I was, when you preach, you tire. No, it's good that happened. He respected me after that. I'm telling you. When I left him, we were preaching here every day. After a while, he said, oh, I beg, this man shouldn't kill somebody. He said, what? Yeah, but I tell you what happened. Yes. I will tell Jose, man, I was down. I lost 7 to 8 kg in a month. Yeah, and I stood on the scale next. I was down by almost 8 kilograms. Like the Bible says, my soul loathed my favorite food. I would go for days and not eat. And I told my wife, if I die, if I go unconscious, don't remove me from this bed. Because my friend died on Saturday, I became ill on Sunday. And I know everything we did, that everybody did to keep him alive. His wife called me and said, Banky, talk to your friend. You know the way he is. He doesn't like this kind of stress. I called him. It was nice to see you. Give him the phone. And I begged him to leave. His wife just said, if you can just persuade him, he'll be fine. So I told my wife, see, I don't want all this wahala. If I pass out, leave me here. And then, the Lord, the Bible says, has disciplined me severely, but he did not give me over to death. And when I got up, I came out with fire. Oh, yes. As soon as I was raised, I picked a book I've been writing for years, Worship and Self-Control, and I finished it in a month. And I started another one, We Walk by Faith, and finished it in another 1 month. Do you get my point? That's the problem I have with some of our faith teachers. As if there's never problems. Kenny Hagin said he was almost going back to that sick bed. Until I went and prayed and said, Lord, what is going on? And the Holy Spirit helped him to see. And he changed his confessions. Changed the way he used to talk. Changed the way he used to behave. And he rose up again and kept on going and kept the word of God on his lips. When they say, how are you doing? He said, I'm on my feet by the grace of God. The power of God is working in me. No matter how he felt, he would tell them the same thing. The grace of Jesus Christ is keeping me standing. He kept on maintaining a particular kind of confession until it became totally well. That's not the story. The story was that this man of faith, let me keep talking about him. He was praying one day. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He didn't even know what was praying. He prayed fast in other tongues. And he prayed and prayed. The spirit of, you know, what do you call it? Supplication came upon him. He didn't even know. He kept on praying. Later, you know, that's one. We'll talk about that later, maybe another time. Those are the times you pray some of these prayers you pray. It's not this one will form bad habits. But later I realized what he was praying about. Because sometimes God brings that kind of spirit upon you. He didn't even know, but God said, I need you to pray about what he did not know. So he began to pray. And the prayers overflowed from his lips in other tongues. And God said, look, touch your mother-in-law. I want to heal. Now, let me not make so many stories. No, one, lay your hands on your wife. She's going to be filled with the Spirit. Lay your hand on his wife. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether it's the same day. No, another day. His mother had a huge, mother-in-law had a huge goiter. You see where I'm going with the whole story. His mother-in-law had a huge goiter. I'm telling you the way he told the story. He touched her. While everybody watched, the goiter went down like you put a pin in a balloon. He went down 90%. Either 80, 90%. And the Holy Spirit told him, tell her to go to the church. I will perfect her healing. There was a reason the Lord said that. I won't go into that night to take me off the main thing I'm trying to say. But such were the manifestations in his life. And he began to have this feeling that his wife would die early. And one day the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And he said, Lord, I've always had this feeling my wife would die early. And the Lord said, yes, it is true. And he prayed. And the Lord said, she will not die just because you asked me. Just because you asked me. Now, you see where I'm going with the whole story? Remember the mother was healed of a goiter. The daughter too had a goiter. The Nagin's wife. And it was choking her to death. Because part of it is what we call retrosternal goiter medicine. It was growing inside. You won't see it. In fact, her almost was inside and outside. And he had prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know what happened? Nothing. That was when he had that vision. I don't know whether that vision was before then or after then. Then one day he was praying, the Lord appeared to him. They were having a program. The Lord just appeared to him physically. He said, tell your wife to go and be operated on because she will live and not die. That's why I told this whole story. Went into my own personal life. I first saw the story of Kinehagin, how he got healed. The kind of powerful manifestation in his life. But when his wife had the goiter, she needed to have surgery. Was it that her faith was too small? I don't know. Was it that his own faith was weak? I don't know. Do you get my point? But that was how God chose to heal her. Was it because that was the only way he could do it? I don't know. Who told you I have all the answers? But one thing I suspect. Because you see, if you're having a fever, and there's ibuprofen there, paracetamol is there, and you have enough knowledge to know that if you pop one of them, it will go. It's a bit difficult to just say, I won't take it. And so many times people come and say, I've gone to friends before. You say, your friend is sick. I go there. What's the problem? He said, when they tell me, I just go there. I don't even go there. I'm not praying for you. I know you have prayed for yourself. I come, say this anti-malaria. Open your mouth. Swallow it as I'm watching. He said, don't give me headache of praying for the next 2 weeks when I can cure you in 12 hours. But there's been times in my life, a number of times, in which I took the medicine like this, and God says, drop it. And I drop it. Now I lie down there. And it took me 1 month to get up, not as if he dropped and said, tomorrow morning. The one I told that I was down, I didn't take anything. I was down for a whole month. I knew what the Lord was saying. Didn't take it. That is the day my body was burning hot, cooling down, burning hot, cooling down. I sat up. I said, Lord, I am so uncomfortable. I said, Lord, I'm not feeling well. Hey, I keep on reminding people of my natural training. I know the medicine too. I know the theory. I know everything. And I said, Lord, what do you think? And in my spirit I heard, not heard, I felt, drop it. So I dropped it. And I went and laid down. Didn't take anything like that. I just went and laid down. And you know what happened? The fever broke and never returned. It never returned. I said, Lord, I'm not feeling well. Lord, please. I said, Lord, I feel terrible. You know this kind of thing? If you lie down, you feel like standing up. When you stand up, you feel like falling down. When Job said that day I wish for night, at night I wish for day, I know what he meant. And I said, Lord, you know, I take this tablet, I will feel better at least for 8 hours. And the Lord shook his head, said, you don't need it, drop it. So I dropped it and I went and lay down. When I woke up, I was sweating, the fever broke and never returned. Remember the story I told my wife, said, you're not sleeping. I said, I'm not sleeping. She said, yes. And I turned to the Lord, I said, Lord, my wife said I'm not sleeping. I didn't even realize that. I just realized that for days, I've just been catching 10 minutes here, 15 minutes, you know. Ah, I said, Lord, my wife said, I need to sleep. You know how important sleep is. I talked to the Lord. And I opened my eyes. It was 6 hours after. I thought I was still praying. And I opened my eyes, everybody had disappeared. The sun was out. Everybody was quiet. My wife had gone out with the children to school. I said, what? I looked. It's been nothing less than 6 hours, no break. Because I just talked to the Lord about it. So God answers prayers. However, in this woman's situation, with all the experience the woman has had, the man has had, I said, tell your wife to go and get operated on. Don't worry, she will not die. And you know what? She was actually afraid she would die. And that's why the Lord had to come and talk. You see, there are many complications about some of these things. But God in his mercy will lead her to where we are supposed to go. So he will come to some people and say, do you believe I'm able to do this? And that's what he was asking. He's testing the level of their faith. And he says, go, let it be unto you according to your faith. He's not angry with people. Sometimes we are doing faith competition. One woman wrote a book once, said I should help her review it. She invited me for the book launch. I told my wife, this book is incomplete. Yeah, the thing that God did, you didn't write it inside. You told a long story about how you grew up, how you became small, you became bigger, you went this way, went that way. And then when it was time for God to work his miracle, you omitted how he did it. And you wrote a book. And you think you're encouraging me? No. That was the fault I found in it. Look, if you want to hide, don't write the book. Don't write the book. My friend who came to minister to us last week, I was there for his baby dedication. The man, time to... Who went with me? You were there? The man mounted a pulpit in a large church and told humiliating stories. I felt like I said, bro, why you just, must we hear all of this? My wife was there that day, of course. My wife and I went. And everybody gathered to rejoice with him. How did I get into all of this? When Jesus said, Do you believe I'm able to do what he meant by that? I'm trying to explain. But our message for today, again, we'll get into it. Is unbelief is powerful. Please let me recommend a series of messages we preached here some years ago. The fight against unbelief. And that's why I read that portion of Psalm 38 we began with. And that's why I read the story of Hezekiah again. Because that man came to Jesus. Jesus said, he came to Jesus, he said, if you can do anything, help me. And Jesus said, if I can, if you read New Living Translation, that's in Mark chapter 9. He says, not what I can, it's if you can believe. It's if you can believe. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Unbelief is not lack of faith. Doubt is not lack of faith. They are two totally different entities. They can exist side by side. You can have faith here, and unbelief comes to contaminate it. People will look at it like this, as if If you don't have faith, what you have is unbelief. And if you have faith, you will not have unbelief. No, please look at it differently. And I can easily illustrate it from looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 1. That it said, let there be light. And there was light. Then he did what? He separated the light from the darkness. That thing, oh God, that Hebrew there is beautiful. What was he saying to us? Light is a spiritual entity. Darkness is not absence of light, but it's another spiritual entity. We define darkness as a situation which light is absent. No. Darkness is a force that can stay where there is light if you don't remove it. And that's why it says the light shines where? In the darkness. And the darkness could not what? Comprehend it. That's one. Or some other translation uses the word what? Understand? No. There's another word. Overcome. Now what does that tell you? Darkness is a pushback. Or it pushes back. Darkness tries to understand. What is the concept of understanding? To undermine. Darkness tries to overcome. Darkness is not just absence of light. If it was just absence of... I mean, think about it. I have an empty cup here. There's no cup, just illustrating. Emptiness is what? Lack of content. So emptiness cannot try to overcome content. If I pour water in it, it has water. I cannot tell you I poured water and emptiness cannot overcome the water. Which is what would have been saying, all right? If darkness was just a matter of absence of light. But it is not. Darkness is an entity. Like light is an entity. And they struggle. It's just that light is more powerful. And as long as you introduce light, darkness will not be able to overcome it. But it tries. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm using that one to explain unbelief. Unbelief is not lack of faith. Unbelief are the things that come to undermine faith. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, there's a story I was telling the other day about 10,000 miles for a miracle. She went for a healing evangelist came from America. Came to Australia. She went there. And as the man was preaching, the power of God touched her. And her heart was healed. And unbelief came and removed it. It took her, is it 10 years later? To get her healing back. That first, she didn't know what happened. They were just praying. She felt this warmth pass through her. Grip her chest. She knew that something, she didn't know what. She felt she was healed. She was not certain. Then she forgot. And as she went to the mall, she took the flight of stairs and ran. For somebody who had a severe heart condition, was not normally able to run. That's when she realized she was healed. And then she went to see the doctor, the cardiologist. Cardiologist saw her and said, wow, you look all new. Listen to her heart, checked everything. Looks like you have a new heart here. What happened? And she said, nothing. And the healing disappeared. You know why? Oh, my father. That's what they call unbelief. Do you know what happened to her? She began to reason. If I say I was healed, this guy is a church member. It will mean I went for that meeting. What would they say about me? I have joined these Pentecostals. All that played in her heart as the doctor was talking with her. And she said to the doctor, nothing. And Jesus said, you said nothing? And she got up, tried to take a few steps. She was weak again. People of God, it took 10 years. And 10,000 of journeying from Australia all the way to Pittsburgh in America to go for a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Unbelief. It's powerful. What is unbelief? It's the explanation you have for why it is not so. Unbelief is the stories you have to tell why it shouldn't work like that. Unbelief is not absence of faith per se. Yes, faith can kill unbelief, but it doesn't do it automatically. You have to face the unbelief and fight it. That's why I preached the series that time, the fight against unbelief. It has to be fought. And many times, that's what actually delays the answer to prayer. Many times that's what delays the answer to prayer. It is not as if the answer is not coming, but that unbelief is pushing it back. Look at that woman I told you the story now. She was healed. There was no doubt. See, there was no doubt about it. She's had a few heart attacks, which crippled her because of her, you know, heart weakness. She was not tired. She was in bed most of the time. And this evangelist came with the healing power of God. She went there. And I'm not sure he laid hands on her specially, but the power of God left the pulpit, came there, touched her. She was healed. They all don't believe, do. And it's always satanic counsel. So you want them to know, yourself are now joining the Pentecostal people. Very soon now you start speaking in tongues. This is how you start to. Your church will cut you off. And so she do until she opened her mouth and rejected the power of God. What happened? Nothing. Why? Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will also be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. Precisely what happened. I read some of those things, I get scared. Honestly, I do. I say, now, wow. God, please give me boldness to share the testimony when I'm supposed to share it. Let me not be afraid of human beings. You want to proceed, you'll be looking at me. They have better look. They have better look. Do you know, some of us don't know what they call persecution. There's no, in Nigeria, there's no persecution, seriously. What is just here? They don't sell you land. That's persecution. Do you know, there are people who cannot prove that they are male in their office in Europe so that their office people will not know they pray. True. Yeah. Do you know now, both in the UK and the rest of Europe, you walk into a restaurant, maybe four of us decide to go and eat, and they serve the meal. What is the normal thing we do? Somebody say a word of prayer, and the rest of us will just bow our head. If you do that in most of the restaurants, everybody, every eye will turn to look at you. What are they doing? Yeah, you are strange. It's worse if you decide to join your hands. And you know what I want to tell you? If you're in that position, join your hands. Do toying the people. Give me your hands. Father, we want to thank you. This is me. You normally would have just said, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. This one, join hands. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the farm. Thank you for the seed. Thank you for harvest. Thank you for the truck. Oh, hallelujah. You never can tell. Holy Ghost fire can fall there. I'm telling you. Let all of them pause and start looking. And if they mistakenly ask you, what are you doing? Don't let the opportunity go. Oh, I am giving thanks to God, the creator and the supplier. It's not by our own strength we have food to eat. You can even say, anybody who doesn't believe me will not be able to eat for 48 hours as the Lord will prove himself in your life. It's only for, they're not going to die. Somebody says, hey, you're talking nonsense. I don't believe that. God said, no problem. Thank you, leave him. Let him go and eat. The guy will get to one day, wants to swallow something. The wife will say, honey, I eat that. Oh, boom, he done the joke. They will give him the Heimlich maneuver. He will remove the food. Then 48 hours, he's in the hospital, being monitored. Then he will remember. 48 hours ago, the guy said, I want the jail. Will say, do you want to go back home and eat in peace? From now on, you will thank God before you eat. He will go and put something in his mouth without thanking God. He will choke again. Then he will tell his wife, honey, I was in a restaurant the other day. Those were black guys who came from Nigeria. He said, I can't eat again unless I thank God. He will say, oh boy, just thank God small because we don't want you to die. We still love you. And the guy will just say, God, thank you. And he will eat peacefully. Yeah, that's as you are not allowed to be ashamed. That's the point I'm making. You're not allowed to be. And many of the people are ashamed now of persecution. You know, it may sound like a small thing. Your boss can actually fire you. In some of those places, either directly or indirectly. And you find something against you. After all, the place you are eating is a company restaurant. How dare you bow your head to give thanks? And Jesus said, listen, Next time you go, bow your head and give thanks. If he fires you, sue him. But don't deny that faith. Lord, why should I sue him? I want to give you an opportunity to testify. When you get to court, you stand again. I was just thanking God who gave me life, who I worship, who sent his son to deliver me from my sins. Because the judge was here too. Is the jury? God knows what he's doing. It's the jury he came to minister to. That's what he does. This woman was afraid and she lost it. That's what they call unbelief. Unbelief is not lack of faith. It's a spiritual force. And usually it manifests as explanations for why it is not so. For example, you have a sickness. You've been prayed for. It's improving. Then the doctor comes and says, okay, you are going into remission. And your friend says, that is how Mr. Lagbaja the other day, he went into remission. Finally, he came out of remission and died. This is how went into remission, came out of remission and died. And then, by the time they tell you what happened to Temedu, Anjale Koko. You know, when we're young, you know, there's Tom, Dick, and Harry. In Yoruba, it's Lagbaja and Temedu. Yes, that's where I got the Lagbaja from. So when our last chief of army staff was not Lagbaja, it was odd. But when we're young, it was just you have Tom, Dick, and Harry in English. In Western Nigeria, you have Lagbaja and Temedu. As who's Temedu? I don't know. So this is what I'm saying. That is what is called what? Unbelief. So it stirs up fear in your heart. And you will begin to what? Sink. That's what it does. Now, what's the message for today? Actually, that's not the message. Remember, we read from Psalm 33, 38, where David told the Lord his problems. Went to Ezekiah, where he laid the problems down before the Lord. Now, this is my message to you today. When unbelief comes to talk, you can't fight unbelief by yourself. You draw near to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, now you know what unbelief is. It's the explanation why things will not go according to the will of God. Unbelief is the explanation why the opposite of what you are believing may be the thing that will happen. Now this is my message, and I begin to round off with it. Write it down for the Lord. You're about to go into ministry, and they say that hunger will finish you. Please remember, faith is power. Is the activator of power. Unbelief is what? The activator of power. Or the activator of failure. It is the deactivator of power. Or the activator of failure. See, God speaks. Both of them work on it. Faith will make sure the word comes to pass and you're blessed. Unbelief will make sure the word doesn't come to pass and you're not blessed. So God can call you into ministry and hunger will destroy your ministry. Yeah. God can have you resign your job, go somewhere else to go and do something else. And I say, at the end of the night, say, next time. This was how Mr. Smith resigned his job and said, I want you to start a business. What happened? Hunger almost killed him and his wife. A bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 35. That is what they call what? Unbelief. A young man came to me here. Remember, was it you he spoke to once? The Reverend Father. He had trained all his life to be a Reverend Father. A lot of you put up your hands. But some of you are going to college or you don't know Catholicism. Let's not lie. Let's not lie. Do you know one day I asked people, what's the meaning of Immaculate Conception of Mary? All of them got it wrong. All Catholics. All, including my wife, she got it wrong. Sweetheart, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. I had to teach you. Sweetheart, you know why she's saying yeah? She doesn't know, she doesn't know it. Even now, she has forgotten the one I taught. That's why she says, hey. If I ask people now, do you know? Who knows the meaning of Immaculate Conception of Mary? What does it mean? Say it's about to get zero now. Just say it. Apostle, just listen now. You laugh.
personal perception is the Holy Spirit
overshadowing Mary, and then she now conceived Jesus Christ. That's what they all believe. It's not it. That's not it. That's what most of them think. See the way he was saying with confidence. See, my wife don't humble now. See the humility in her face. That's what she was thinking. That's what she was saying. Ah, Pastor, how can you say I don't know my husband? After I don't rub your back, you say I don't know. Most of them don't know. They don't know. They don't know. Now, who knows? I believe all these people that I don't know. Who knows now? Who wants to tell me? Now, they don't confuse everybody. I bet you say, it's okay. See who's on hand? Junior pastor. Yeah, Savik, talk. You want to know what your mother doesn't know? This generation don't spoil. Do you know it? So... He said, doesn't want to talk again. Okay, but go ahead. Tell me what you think. Good. Oh, clap for my guy. Clap for my guy. Clap for my guy. Yeah. All of you. But you, how can you know? Now, you be redeemed pastor. How you know? Yeah, redeemed pastor. How you know? No, really. When you hear the word Immaculate Conception, it means that Mary, just unlike everybody else, Mary was born without original sin. Yeah. Most people, they don't know. When you say Immaculate Conception College, they're not talking about the conception of Jesus Christ, but the conception of the mother, yes. Yeah, because they said for her to be able to carry such a holy child, she had to be clean. Yeah. No, it's too deep. You guys don't. That's just a small aside. To tell a lot of people they don't know. The Lord is good. Now, back to what I was saying. Many of us don't know what it takes to train a Reverend Father. Some of the most intense trainings in the world for any profession. Yeah, it is. It's very intense. They go through years and years of training. When you go down to the university level, that's if you get 2 bachelor's degrees, theology, philosophy. This guy had gone through everything. Spent like 9 years. That's where I'm going, about unbelief. The Lord appeared to him one day, said he shouldn't finish it. The Lord needed him to leave and go and do something else. Yeah. Now, I wasn't the one that preached to him. You were not the one that preached to him. The Holy Spirit met him personally and let him know what he was supposed to do. Why, I don't know. But let me talk about unbelief. And he was willing to take this step. The unbelief now arrived. Unbelief reminded him, you know, one person does not train a father. Is the whole village. And truly, he was not representing himself alone. He was representing not only his family, but the whole clan, the community. All hopes have been on him. That's one. Unbelief came to him and said, you have no marketable skill or marketable certificate. 8 or 9 years of training is going to become nothing in your hands. Think about it. Where are you going to go? He reasoned up and down. He heard us in radio. That's why. I think that's why he came, right? He talked with you. Not to him that he should talk to me. And when he came and told me everything. You know, let me tell you something about this, our Father God. Niceness is not one of his attributes. No, it's not. A man came, said, I want to follow you. Let me go and bury my father. Jesus looks at him. He never had let the dead bury the dead. His father was old. Was at home, was not in the mortuary. But let me just stay with him until death and then I'll be free. And I want to let me go and tell my people bye-bye. And let me go and settle family affairs and I'll come and follow you. Jesus said, you're not ready for the kingdom. Elijah called Elisha. According to the word of the Lord. Elisha said, I beg, let me just go and tell my people I'm going. Elijah said, following me is not by force. So. The guy had to make the decision there and move. I've told my story again and again. The day a friend of mine came and told me why family pressure was why he had to go and look for money. And I realized I had never thought about that. And I began to weep and cry. I lay down that day on my bed. Lord, I'm so sorry. Ah, God, why would I think like that? I finished. The Lord waited for a pause in the cry. clearly, man of God, clearly. Except a man hates his father and mother and his brothers and his sisters, he cannot be my disciple. You want to look at God and do him like this? So you can't even say, Vanki, also go and do Ogadim. My wife will have done better than you in consoling me. My wife will have rubbed my back. Say, my husband, don't worry. God will take care of us. Sorry, let's just try and obey him, though. Not the Lord, though. Say, stupid. But come on, shut your mouth and stop crying stupid cries there. It's just people are suffering for kingdom. They just say, may I kick you. That was the reaction they gave me. Do you know? The kind of way you wipe your tears, lest somebody gets angry. When my children were small, I asked them, if I flog you, some people say you can't flog each and tell her not to cry. I say, I'm not your father. That's why that proverb exists. Or reminding my wife the other day, I said, let me tell you something about how you to train. You know, some people, when you rebuke them, they carry fish, they'll be doing like this. Ask my children. When they were small, when you carry fish, I tell you to come back. Smile now. Now, as I'm looking at you, smile. Say, Daddy, thank you. I said, go and meet your mother and give her a hug. Now, as I'm looking at you, we love by force. Love is an action, not an emotion. The Lord is good. That's how God is. That day, I just had to wipe my tears. I said, Lord, sorry. You know, there's some of us think we are doing the Lord a favor. He goes, you do me a favor. Can you even spell favor properly? You can't do me a favor. When you obey me, it's a privilege that I even found you worthy to call. Let's work together. And you say we to be grateful automatically. It's like, what will you do for me? Nothing. Come, let's go. When that man came that day, I didn't tell him anything like this. He said, don't worry, the Lord. I said, are you sure of what you are saying? He said, yes. I said, then go and obey first. You are forbidden from worrying about tomorrow. The answer I gave him. I said, go and obey first. You are forbidden from worrying about tomorrow. Never saw him again. I pray he obeyed. Prayed for him after. I said, go and obey. I said, all this morning, what happened tomorrow? I said, I don't know. The Lord forbids you from asking. Go there, take the plunge before you can change your mind. I'm talking about what unbelief does. Do you know unbelief has robbed people of their inheritance? Obey God, they can't. They start counting the cost in the other side. If I obey him, I look at what it cost me. But God said, count the cost. Know what it cost. I don't know what my point. That is, and walk away from it. Pay the price and move on. The other day I spoke, we're talking about prayer, so I need to go back to this. I said to us that when God said, vengeance is mine, I will avenge. Many of us look at it as if actually it violates our sense of justice. If you slap me, I'm a man for goodness sake. You can't slap me and go away like that. I should give you two back to balance it. If I'm mild and merciful, I give you one. And they will know we are equal. And you know, that's a sense of justice. And God placed it inside us. And just by the way, when you are training children, you must bear that in mind. They have it inside them, the sense of justice. When you are settling quarrels amongst your children, always demonstrate justice. Don't tell the older one, be quiet, you are the older one. Can't you even do older one for your younger ones? If they disrespected him, rebuke them. Punish them. Let him see that justice was done. That way, he will never have to avenge himself. He'll be content with, I will tell daddy. He'll be content with, I will report it to mommy. And those ones will have fear. If you don't do that, they will beat themselves silly behind your back. And you'll be angry. Why? They saw injustice and they couldn't stand it. So I said to us, when God says, yeah, that's what I want to refer to. When is it turn the other cheek? It violates our sense of justice. Turn the other cheek violates the sense of justice of human beings. If you slap me, I should slap you back. And Jesus came and said, if they ask you to go 1 mile, it was oppression. Go with him too. It's like a policeman stopping you on the highway and say, your glass is not clear. You know, things that don't have any meaning. Tells you to park. How do you argue with a man who has a power, he has a gun, that he's quoting the law wrongly. I learned long ago not to bother. Was he in Kana going to Oka last time? Yeah, it was me and you. See that one that was saying things that they said don't do. Where's the medical certificate for your car to be lightly tinted? It's against the law. It's not supposed to ask. And I said, if you can't go, if you're just giving 1,000 naira. Some of us don't understand this. You know what Jesus said? Give him 2,000 and drive off. That's what Jesus said. It's injustice. That's why I'm going to remind you of what God actually meant. What he means is that when you do that, there's a certain number of slaps that man, that Roman soldier, is supposed to give before I cut his hand. In the nation, there is a total number of slaps they must all deliver to you people before I avenge you of your adversary, before I end their reign. A lot of people don't understand it. Let me not talk about Gaza and Israel issue now. You'll have understood that any one of them can win that battle if they go to God. The Gaza people can collect that whole land from Israel. Those of you are saying that God gave it to Israel. God will tell you, I changed my mind. The people of Gaza will do certain things. God will tell Israel, go and negotiate with them. Some of these doctrines we preach, you don't know God enough. The people of Gaza can activate it. There are scriptures they will activate. Benjamin Netanyahu will just collapse and die by fire. Let me not talk about it. All this fighting for your right is why you'll be in bondage for longer. Because there's a certain number of slaps I said they must give. Each time they give you one, I'm marking it. Anytime you return it, I deduct it again. So if they give you one slap, and they're supposed to give a total of 1,000. When you turn the other cheek, he gives 2. Then tomorrow, he slaps another person. He turns the other cheek, they give you 2. He keeps getting closer. Then one day, the cup of judgment is full. But if he gives you one slap, and you give him back, 0. He gives you one slap, I mark it. Then you give him back, I cancel the marking again. So, oppression that should have lasted 5, 8, sometimes 20 years, while you are being slapped, will go on for 100 years because you are always retaliating. So that's why he had to tell us, vengeance is what? Mine. And the Bible says you must make room for that judgment, for that wrath of God. I'm letting us understand the concept, how faith makes us do. When I see people fighting for their rights, all this fight, I just say, you will stay there longer. It's going to be longer. If you do what God, let me not sit on it. So in the same manner, when God says, don't worry about these things, like the young man who came to me and said, these are the unbelief life, the unbelief lines. Is that God doesn't want to take care of it? You know what God is saying? Let me take care of it. So that young man that came, that was supposed to be inducted into the priesthood, those things he told me, he should also write them down. Get on his knees and say, Lord, you have instructed that I do this. This is going to do this. My whole clan, my family, this is how they are going to react. They worry about me. I'm no longer young. I'm in my early 30s now. I have no marketable skill. I have no certificate I can use outside here. Tell it to the Lord. And like Hezekiah, live in the temple there. Whether he speaks or not, all those fears, he will take care of them. Don't keep them in your heart. That's what I'm talking about this. See, the fears are legitimate. The other thing we're talking about, people say, my children cannot be educated in this country. Why? Because you know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I'm going to carry my children. God said, you see, this is the problem. This boy that you love so much, that you want to sell your ancestral land and all your inheritance to go and give him a certificate, education in Canada or UK or America or Australia. Why don't you just ask me to help him? Being concerned for the future of your children is not against the law of God. It's how you handle it that's the problem. Why do you want to donate him to a school where Pastor Bangi told you that they will remove his faith? Why don't you send him to a place where he will learn faith? Why don't you keep him at home for a whole year? Let him follow you to work. Let him learn. Let him faith. Then learn faith. Then send him to school. Before that time, we kneel down and say, Lord, what will become of these children? Looking at what is going on around. Lord, help them. Then he will have put faith in your heart. You have told the boy, see, go to school down the road. Nothing bad will happen to you. Go to school here. Nothing bad will happen to you. And the Lord will say, see, all the people are running all over the world looking for certificates. I will make sure they come and look for a job under you. What am I trying to say? This unbelief matter. I was talking about praying to remove the hindrances to answers to prayer. Unbelief is a hindrance. What is unbelief? Explanations, fears for why things do not go well. How do we handle it? Hezekiah style. Do you get my point? That's how. Hezekiah style. Don't let any fear. Don't keep fear in your heart so that the Lord won't see it. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, sir.
Maybe somebody prays, says, yeah, now you are healed. Now you are healed. You don't need to take medicine anymore. Anytime you are passing, you see where they sell medicine. You do your head like this. You are in the fear. See, if I go and have an attack at midnight, what will I do? You know what you're supposed to do? Kneel down and say, Lord, can we talk? I believe in prayer. I believe that prayer. But anytime I'm passing this medicine shop, I feel like buying something. Yeah, tell him like that. Why? Because I'm in fear that at 12 midnight, there will be nobody to lay hands on me that time. What if I have so-and-so attack? Father God, help my unbelief. You know what Paul said? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come and guard your heart in Christ Jesus. You know, I heard this story once when we were young. One man went to, you know, he had these bad eyes, fake glasses, could hardly see. He went for a meeting, they prayed and prayed, and he was seeing clearly. He could read, his eyes corrected. The next day he went, he woke up. If you want glasses for 20 years, they go pray for you one day. You think you just throw it away like that? So the guy woke up in the morning. He could see you, but he saw his glasses. So he picked it up. Ah! Fear. He couldn't throw it away. He couldn't wear it. But he was seeing. But you know, his mind, is it real? While he was thinking, you know what happened? It was in his hand like this. One angel just came, tapped his hand. The thing hit the floor and shattered. That sealed it. One angel just tapped his hand. The thing hit the floor and shattered. That was how he retained his healing. You know, if that thing had entered his face, it's going back to square one. The Bible says he's mindful that we are but flesh. That is why we take those things to him in prayer. We don't want to use Oboju. So I've seen too many Oboju faith. And y'all believe, you don't believe. Stop lying. Go to the Lord and say, help what? My unbelief. What's unbelief? The fears and the reasons why things will not turn out the way God said it should. What's unbelief? The fears and what? The logical reasons that are persuading you to go against what God is saying. You can't handle them by yourself. If you're afraid to launch out in an area of ministry, do you know even Jesus didn't just go, to the cross we go. Hey, let's go. Boys, anybody want to go to the cross with me here? Come, let's go. Cross the front. I'm not afraid of the cross. I'm the son of God. Cross what we eat. We use cross to cook. Praise God. No cross now in my mind now. Like Omar said, I don't like wahala. But if wahala comes, no wahala. He didn't do like that. You know what he did? Boys, like we say in Nigeria English, and they come. You can't wait here. Let me go yonder. You know what he said? Be praying. So he went inside. And he said, Father, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He waited for a while. He wanted to go. Ah! When he saw one Roman soldier going on his road, Fear catch up. He came back again and knelt down. Look, see, go and find a few scriptures and a few words that are yours. Some of us just want to innovate for God. It's why sometimes we speak tongues God didn't give us. Find scriptures that are just your own. Well, Father, would I say, deliver me from this hour? For this cause I came to this hour. You can say that 10 times a day. Anytime fear comes, Father God, will I say, deliver me from this hour? But for this cause I came to this hour. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, by the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said. Let your grace work for me too, in the name of Jesus. Let me not be afraid. You say I should go and preach in these rural areas where there's a lot of banditry and kidnapping. Hey, fear wants to catch a man, but that will be not my portion. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then, brethren, then you can speak your tongues that time. Then just wake up in the morning. Fear the catch you. It's not necessary. Don't start like that. You will know when the spirit will bubble and come out by itself. I hope you're getting my point. Jesus didn't just say, hey, cross, let's go. No. He said, boys, I'm coming. He went, he came out. He saw the road to Golgotha. He said, that's not a good road. I'm coming. He went back inside. Then he prayed until now. What I want to say is real. I've said to us here many times before, if you think you are walking by faith, your faith is not big enough yet. Did you hear what I said? If you are still thinking, I'm doing this thing by faith, you don't have faith yet. You know, I've never gone downstairs by faith. I've never driven my car by faith. As I'm driving home right now, I'm just driving by faith. You know what I do? I drive with what the Bible calls boldness. I drive what the Bible calls confidence. Actually, they are born of faith. They're actually how faith manifests. So if you are going to the cross, hey, don't beat me too much. It's not yet time. Go back. Go back to the garden and pray until they come and say, what are we looking for? Who are you looking for? We are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And there was no fear in him anymore. There was no fear in him. At that time, the Spirit had entered into him and set him on his feet. At that time, Peter wanted to fight. He said, Peter, relax. Those who live by the sword, they die by the sword. Relax. If I wanted 10 legions of angels, don't think I would have asked my father 12 legions. I would have asked. Let us go. Then Pilate said, do you not have the power to release you? Pilate, what did you say? Oh, sorry. You get that attitude. There was no fear. He said, if I power to release me, you, do you know where the power came from? Okay, Pilate, where did the power come from? You don't know. When Pilate was washing his hands, you see that normal washing? When Pilate went to wash his hand, he gave why? No, you get why. The guy losing my hand no day. That's literal, original, my hand no day. The guy brought this, I beg. Whoever want crucify, me not go crucify him. My hand no day. He washed his hands and they made an eternally fatal statement. Let his blood be on us and our children. You can blame Adolf Hitler all you want. What their father said was, let his blood be on us and our children. You want to hear a prophetic word? Forget all these sides you Christians are taking. The word has been activated. That curse will never go away until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Wasn't a joke. That curse is not good anywhere. I saw this people are making. I don't want to say some things online. I have told you certain issues. Listen. I was say, God gave somebody the land. I said, leave all this land thing. Jesus said, that land will be desolate. Nobody will have peace there until Jesus is acknowledged as the true Son of God. Nobody. One day God will drive everybody and give the land only to those who acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. They will rewrite our scripture at that time and suddenly discovering things that God has already said that was clear to many people. Where am I going to? Why was he able to face Pilate without confidence? It was where he was coming from. That was what intimidated Pilate. Pilate was intimidated by his presence. That's why he rushed to wash his hand. Nobody say the hand too dirty. Now condition. Sorry, I'm taking a lot of your time. It's because after today. But now I've spoken enough. No, Apostle, I finished. Chizurum, can I relax? Hey, you're just pretending. You say I should continue. But why don't we pray again? Let's do our kneeling thing again. What are we placing before the Lord? Just bring out those your hands and look at them. As if you are giving a list to God. These are my fears, Lord. I give them to you. These are my fears, Lord. These are my fears, Lord. The things that are not allowing me make the critical decisions that will please you. Say, Lord, these are my fears. You need to show them to him. Say, Lord, these are my fears. This is why I've not been able to, you know, get up and go into ministry. I've not been able to go and start my, you know, my business. That's why I'm afraid to marry. I like this woman, I do, Lord. But you know what? This and that. These are the issues. Sometimes you're just afraid to, you know, take a responsibility upon you. Beyond the ones you have already. Say, Lord, I thought my wife was going to make life easier for me, but now look at what she has presented before me. More burdens. Take your burdens to the Lord in prayer. What are you looking forward to receive? The Spirit of God. The peace of God. That's what you are hoping to receive. That passes all understanding. The Spirit of peace. The boldness to face your cross. The boldness to face your cross. That's what you are receiving. The boldness to face your cross. The confidence with which you will talk to Pilate. That's what you are receiving. The confidence to talk to Pilate when he will speak. That's what you are receiving. Just give the Lord thanks because he has heard us. Say, Father, we thank you. Let's take a moment and just thank God for this year again. That's how many sessions of School of Prayer. This will be like the 44th one for this year. Yes, I think it's number 44. Just thank the Lord for it. For the things you have learned. For the testimonies, answers he has given you in your life. For the answers he has given you. For the testimonies. For the testimonies. For the testimonies. Thank God for how he has removed fear and anxiety from your life. Give him the praise. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. The Lord is good. All right. So let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless 7 people because this is your last opportunity on Tuesday now. I'm counting in the name of Jesus. That's 2. Of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name. Number 3 now. It's your season of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name. Number 4. This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit. Number 5. This is your season of demonstration. Number 6. This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name. Number 7. The last one. This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The last one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, cheer up, brethren. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.